1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Fun, safe, and stress-free gatherings were hard to plan until now. For only $99, you can reserve a theater for a private showing for up to 20 of your friends and family. Details online at marcustheaters.com.
Welcome to the Mac Fund Radiothon. Our good friend, Big T, Big TV star, Chicago, Mike Toomey. Hey, Mike.
Don't think I don't recognize that music.
Well,
that
here.
Is some fantastic 1960s Batman music when he's walking into the bar in episode one, I might add.
What?
And they say like, can I get your ringside table, Batman? No, thank you. I'll just stand by the bar. I shouldn't wish to attract attention.
How was that not recognized as spectacular comedy?
Man. Yeah, no kidding.
That first episode set so much in motion when Jill St. John was at the bar and she's kind of checking Batman out. And she starts talking to him and he goes, "You interest me strangely.
Well, yeah, had these feelings.
What's so strange about that, Jill St. John?
Yeah. Who was the bad guy in the first Batman? Joker?
The Riddler.
Riddler?
Yeah, it was the Riddler. And they loaded up Batman's drink, orange juice or whatever, and they kidnapped Robin because Robin couldn't go in.
Wow, and this was maybe one of the worst trips to a tavern ever.
Boy, yeah, was it the Frank Gorshin Riddler?
It was the Frank Gorshin Riddler. Okay. And Batman is loaded. He's drunk in the Batmobile, and the cops say, "You better give me the keys, Batman." "I suppose you're right, officer. I must find Robin."
Well, you should have thought about that about four drinks ago, Batman.
Right, before you got hammered.
What was his drink of choice?
I think he just ordered like an orange juice or something, and they spiked it. They put like acid
they did.
In it or something.
Oh,
acid. Kept pouring pouring those things down. This orange juice is strangely great.
Who was tending bar? Who's tending bar? Who's tending bar? Wavy Gravy?
Yeah, that was the bartender.
And he was surprised he was high. Well, Mike, how have you been?
I'm good. I'm really glad that you guys called me. How's things going so far?
We're doing well. We didn't get your Christmas show this year.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the Saturday after Thanksgiving usually.
It's the record.
I know.
It's the CD
and
sale.
That only means that next year is going to be doubly packed.
I want to say
I
this.
Hope so.
I just want to say this, Mike. Damn you, COVID!
Yes.
Supposed to sound like Colonel Klink saying Hogan.
Oh right. Damn you, COVID! Klink! Klink, what does COVID do in your office? I assure you, General Carter. Schultz, what is COVID doing in my office? I know nothing.
Hey, not to get too bring the room down too much, but this will. The whole Bob Crane murder thing that happened when in 76? 77?
78. Bob Crane.
Is there a new book out about that? Saying Richard
about that.
Richard Dawson may have been in on it?
Yeah, they said that Dawson hated Bob Crane, and part of the reason was like he wanted that lead, and then he only got the one of the supporting roles. But they said he was into the video, the crazy video stuff too. You know,
well, it's like four books about him out.
They asked Richard Dawson. They asked Richard Dawson about what type of things he liked on those videos, and he picked his top five. He said, If hot girl on girl action is up there, you're going to get all the money. If not, get a chance to steal hot girl on girl action.
Ding!
Yeah, so I saw something about that not long ago. It's like, is there a new book out? And they're pointing the finger at Richard Dawson, maybe?
Yeah, so, I don't know how many times they can keep recycling this story. And, and of course, you guys saw Autofocus, right?
I owned it.
Oh my god, what a fantastic fun movie to watch. But then here's the thing, you get to the end of that movie and you're like, okay, How does anybody know what those two dead guys said to each other when they were watching porno movies together?
Right. Downstairs.
Yeah, a whole lot of that was those two talking. So I guess it was a lot of filling in the blanks.
Yeah, I don't know. It was disturbing with what they came up with for dialogue. It was just not a fun movie. So all right. Anyway,
I just saw Bob Crane's picture laying there dead.
Oh, is that the cover?
I saw that for the first time just a month ago.
Really? I've never seen it. You mean before, right at the crime scene?
Talk to our friend Kevin. He's the one who sent it to me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh. He was killed with a camera tripod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's like you said, it's such a great story. Watch Autofocus.
Feel good.
Yeah, feel good movie. The nice part, the thing I liked about Autofocus is Rita Wilson plays his wife, and I really like Rita Wilson.
She's great.
She plays Mrs. Hogan, who almost immediately divorces him.
Right.
When she finds out about his whole, I don't even know what to call it. Yeah. She finds his stash out in the garage. So it's a different kind of movie. Anyway, I only blame myself for this. So what else have you been up to? I mean, COVID has slowed everything down.
It really has. I mean, in the last year, I think I've been on stage, maybe a half a dozen times, and those were situations where people were far away and spread out. I'm doing Zanies in Rosemont tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday.
Wait, you're doing what?
Starting tonight.
Tonight. Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're only allowing 50 people in the house. The room holds a few hundred, so they have to spread them out and put no more than 50 in the room. So they're doing it as carefully as they can possibly do it. So
this,
we'll see.
This sounds like a comedy routine.
Right.
Well, you got to be so many feet away from the audience, and it's going to be a little more. It's going to feel a little. It's going to feel weird.
It's got to have a little bit of a crowd to get the wave of laughter going.
I think we'll be able to get that. I mean, if you can get 50 people laughing at a joke, I mean, that's fine. That sounds good. That gives you your timing. But more than anything, it's just the rustiness of not being up on stage and writing stuff that I can't perform, So it's I don't want to go up there with a piece of paper or notebook and just try everything that I've written in the last, 11 months and hope that
all right, everyone sit down and just raise your hand and a joke.
Yeah, take your notebook up there, put it on, what are those called, a podium that you put your music on when you're in a band?
Podium or music stand.
Yeah, music stand, you just start reading them. Oh, here's something, Errol, let me run this by you. Yeah, that's
there
probably not going to work.
Richard Lewis would put a piano on stage, and he would put his notes on the piano, and he would just walk to the piano, check the notes, and walk away and never use the piano the whole time, but he would ask to have a piano on the stage.
The audience was on to that trick, though, right? I mean, it's like he's just reading notes off the piano.
For sure. But distracted by the fact that they're looking at each other, they're all going, is he going to use that? Is he going to play that?
Which sit down and start knocking out some kind of
ragtime thing or whatever, or some
Victor Borga kind of thing.
Yeah.
He can't think of what to say, so he just launches into the best of Tchaikovsky.
How many musical acts are there in the world of comedy that you've been teamed up with a guy with a banjo or a guitar or
Steve
harmonica?
Martin did a lot of music.
There's a decent number of those guys. Some of them are really good, and some of them are just guys trying everything they can try, hoping something sticks. There's a couple of guys who are really, really good, guitar player, songwriters and singers and stuff.
What's the now you're gonna have to think here. What's the worst you've ever seen anybody bomb with an instrument on stage where it's just dude, that's not helping?
Okay, there's a guy who when I started, I started at the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont, and there was a guy who on any given night could be the best guy of the night or the worst guy. And, on those nights you'd see 10 comedians. Yeah. On any given night, he could be the worst comedian you've ever seen, or he could be the greatest thing you've ever seen. And he had a keyboard, and he would play a lot of songs, and he had this this thing called a stump fiddle, which is like a one-man band thing that had horns on and stuff. And it was like, at times you're like, am I watching like the Best of the Gong Show here? Or is this the most brilliant guy I've ever seen in my life? And I will tell you this, probably half the songs that he did, he wouldn't be able to do on stage today. Shall we say the landscape has changed a little bit.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yes.
But
so,
you could say that about any comedian, couldn't you, Mike?
You could.
I mean, you've
could,
had
I
to.
Mean, we've all done stuff where I look back and go, oh, my God, did I really say that
right
on stage?
Yeah.
You know, but some more than others. Some guys can't work anymore because that was all they did.
Which I don't understand, because on TV, typically any given night in the Family Hour, there is a decapitation or some human being pulled out of a luau pit where they're supposed to be cooking the pig or something like that. These are all examples Brian has given me.
Have
now,
you watched Hawaii 5-0, Mike?
Not the new one. No,
the new one. I'm talking about the new one. It's some of the most exquisite violence.
But think of how numbed we are to that now. Like when you were a kid, if you saw just like a little bit of blood, it was creepy, but it was like, oh my God. I remember probably about 10 years ago, there was a moment when my daughter and I were sitting in the family room watching The Walking Dead with like guts and, you know, blood and heads ripped off. Eat pizza and watching this.
Right. And
it just becomes so numb to it, you know?
And that was, before that, we had stuff like Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, My Friend Flicka, you know, Lassie, all those things. There were no heads on Lassie in a box, you know, Lassie come trotting in, you know, with someone's brain or something like that.
Hawaii 5-0 has had a head in a box, a roasted guy at a luau, had his badge in his mouth, by the way. A girl who's
It's not enough just to cut his head off. You really got to sell it by putting his badge in his mouth.
Oh, and then they found his body in a trunk later. Like, oh, that must be the guy the head belongs to.
Right.
A girl who set her father on fire in an RV, and a car bomb or two, and just a lot of shooting. There was a zip line cutting. Click.
This all happened on
one season.
In Oahu. In Oahu.
Yeah, first season.
Can you imagine the news? Well,
plus the governor shot to death in her office.
Oh my!
Yeah,
it's almost like. Remember those that series of films called Faces of Death?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like that. I mean, some of that I never saw any of them. I never got to see any of them. But you know, word is that some of that was actually legit, but a lot of it was staged. But
good God, I hope so.
Rock says he saw him. You know when I saw Faces of Death, Mike? I used to live in Franklin, and at the time, my patio doors walked out to my deck, faced the drive-in that was across a field, right?
Uh-huh.
And I get home one night, and I know that they're doing, like, at the end of the year, they would just throw on anything to get, like, anybody to the drive-in. It had to be late October, whatever. So there's no leaves on the trees or anything. I can see the screens across the field. I get home and I look out.
Advertise this?
What?
Faces of Death was going to be at the 41 Twins?
Yes. Yes. Of course. I think
police should have just been there and locked up everyone who went.
I think we ran the commercials, as a matter of fact. But I saw I saw them out my patio window going, oh my gosh, this Faces of Death that I'm watching out my patio window. Yeah.
That's horrible.
They're worse. You know, I'm okay. I'm all right. It was just, you know, I had little kids.
It was like an underground thing that like never actually had any kind of public showing.
Like some kind of fight club or something.
It was when VHS and VCRs were new.
Yeah.
And you had a video club membership, not to Blockbuster, just to some weird corner video store. You come home with that.
Right, when like liquor stores all had a video department,
yeah.
and 90% of it was porn. Oh, it was. I remember like strolling along going,
oh, what do we have here? Oh.
90%.
Oh, there was a liquor store at a house that I lived by that when you walked in, it was like a liquor store. And then there was a door you went through and there were some videos, you know, some that had just been released. And if you walked back a little further, it was nothing but skin flicks.
Yeah. Get some gas, some beef jerky, and some porn.
And you know, back on the road.
You know, it's great when you're loaded.
Right. So that's when I saw, you know, that's when I saw Faces
when
of Death.
When those Faces of Death movies were like kind of happening, I used to do a joke saying that, like, it's funny that we talk about it now, like how far will TV get to the point where you'll actually have like Bob Saget hosting Faces of Death, like funniest home videos at the end of the show. It'll be like, who will it be? The $10,000 winner, Monkey Brains winner, or Bungee Cord is too long.
They did have the Monkey Brains eater on Faces of Death.
Yeah, the Monkey Brains. Everybody sat around the table and ate monkey brains.
Yeah, out of a live monkey.
Yeah.
I walked into that one night in my own house. Out the patio. What the hell? Oh, Faces of Death, right?
I remember, I was a kid, and somebody got it, rented it. Did you hear Jeff's got Faces of Death?
What do you mean by kid? Grade school? Sixth grade?
Junior high.
Junior high, so seventh grade. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And?
Well, it was a big deal, you know.
Did you sleep?
That like must a baby. That must have burned up the 14-year-old news network.
Oh, yeah. Those guys watched Doesn't Faces of Death last night.
Traumatize you for the rest of your life, though? I mean, being like a little kid in your seat, that stay with you for a while?
I remember that scene vividly, that monkey brain scene, to this day.
I haven't thought of that in years, and now you bring it up.
You said watch Hawaii 5-0, though.
Yeah, I know, Hawaii 5-0. That got... Rock was always talking about the promos they'd run for NCI. Or is it NCI?
Law and Order.
Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, or one of those during football games.
Frozen prostitute in the cooler.
Yeah. One in the dumpster.
They run
all
that during football games all the time. Watch Law and Order tonight. I think the prostitute was dead when they threw her in the cooler.
One year it was right after Rudolph. They ran the beginning of one of those.
Right.
It was... And Merry Christmas, everyone! And Santa flying off, and the next scene was a
Ice
dead hooker and a dumpster.
And Munch, dead hooker and a dumpster. So I'm watching Hawaii 5-0, and, you know, I get the car bombs and the head in a box and other stuff, and it's like, well, this is 10 years before dead hooker and a dumpster.
So what are you guys showing? So what are you guys showing over there at Channel 9, Mike, in Chicago, WGN? You got anything like that right after the morning news?
Nothing like that. We're still hanging in there with Rachel Ray. And her, you know, the things that she's serving up, you know, nothing that isn't edible, you know, is what you're talking about.
How are you? How you doing with that TV thing?
It's going good. You know, I was home, like, when this hit last March, I had to work from home, and I was doing the show from my family room. I had like a fake set behind me for 5 months.
But did you try and make it look hokey, or did you try and make it look like cozy, warm? Like, oh, what a nice house.
I tried to make it look very much like what I had in studio. I have like, I stand in front of like a pegboard. Like, remember Gary Owens' set on Laughing?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it started out like that, but I've since like decorated it with more pop culture pictures and things. So it looks like that.
Did you have a clock like Gary Owens?
Pardon me?
Did you have a clock on the wall like Gary Owens behind him and laughing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, the on-air sign and all that. So we tried to replicate that as best we could and just put it up in front of my fireplace. And that was what our living room was, you know, for 5 months. And, you know, it worked to a degree, but there's no there's not the spontaneity that you like to work with. Like, there's a... Like, you're on camera 2 seconds before you know you are, and they don't hear you till 2 seconds after you say things, so there's a lot of, you know, lag time. It just kind of kills the moment sometimes.
Yeah,
Has Greg the Vampire been quarantined? Is he stuck alone by himself?
Blah, blah. Yeah, been quarantining you. It's funny, I was watching some of the stuff that I did, when I started doing that character, it was just a total, you know, takeoff on Bela Lugosi.
Right.
But sometimes characters kind of like any character that's on TV for a while, it morphs a little bit.
Sure.
And one day I did it, like within the last few months, and somebody went, hey, that's a really good Triumph imitation. Triumph the Insult Dog.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, hey, why don't you shut up and mind your own business? And then I listened to it. I'm like, oh, my God, I turned it into Triumph.
So did you dial it back to be more Bela Lugosi-like?
Yes. But see, the character became more sarcastic like that. So, like, he was saying things more like, yeah, that's what really happened. You know? And but I absolutely had to dial it back because whoever said that was right. And it kind of morphed into it without me even realizing it.
If you haven't seen Greg the Vampire, they're all on YouTube, right, Mike? You can find them?
Yeah.
You can go dial up Greg the Vampire and see the whole series. Kind of like Brian's watching Hawaii 5-0 now. There's a bunch of them out there.
Usually he goes to the drive-thru or something.
I think my favorite one is
less blood in the vampire segments than there is in Hawaii 5-0.
You could have done COVID Greg the Vampire, like giving yourself a home haircut and stuff.
Well, the one thing I did do is I said, I was the first guy to, like, cover up your face with the cape, like, don't spread the germs. A
big, long, flowing black mask.
The head of my time.
Yeah, my favorite Greg is the donut shop Greg.
With the, did somebody suck the jelly out of the donut?
Yes. Yeah, that one. But there's probably a few I'm behind on at the moment, but Greg is a great character that you've come up with.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a couple like little series things I did too, where it's called Greg's Spooktacular Videos, and it's just film clips of old TV shows and movies and stuff, and commenting on how dumb they are. So that's kind of fun.
And those are on YouTube as well?
Yes.
All right.
Type my name in, Greg the Vampire, Greg Spooktacular Videos, all that. They'll all show up.
Excellent.
Michael, we appreciate you taking time for us today.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you guys. Good to hear your voices.
Are we planning on a Christmas spectacular?
We absolutely are. The target date is that Saturday after Thanksgiving, like it's always been, and God willing, we'll get that we'll get to do that again, because I really, honest to God, that is like the most fun of anything I do all year.
Awesome. All right, have the Joker say goodbye to us.
Well, let me just say this before I let you go, before I bid you adieu. yes.
All right, Mike, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
See you back, guys. Talk to you soon.